Well, back when I was studying at university, I studied different cultures around the world. And one of the things that you find out when you do that is, one of the things you find out is that the human race is intensely spiritual. We're spiritual beings. You find belief in God or some kind of spiritual being just everywhere. It's universal. Even in places where authorities have actually actively tried to stomp out religion, places like China, they've just failed to do it. They just can't do it. In China, despite fierce oppression of religion, you now have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people who are religious. They say that more people go to church in China on a Sunday morning than through all of Europe. There's many, many religious people in China. As human beings, we are a spiritual people. And that is true even in more Western nations. Back in 2009, there was this book here that was published, God is Back, by John Micklethwaite and Adrian Wooldridge. And in the book, it argued that religious belief is increasing across the world and not just in third world countries. Now, here in Australia, of course, we've recently received the results of the 2016 census. And it is certainly true that many Australians, and certainly more than in other censuses, ticked the no religion box. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, even with that being said, 60% of Australians in 2016 still actually connected themselves with some kind of religion. And what is also the case is that many who tick the not religious box, many do that not because more because they consider themselves to be spiritual people rather than religious. Okay, there is a growing spiritual but not religious movement in Australia. Many people would still say that they are spiritual people. And so we need to be careful about even how we take the results of the recent census here in Australia. The reality is that most Australians are still connected in some way to another religion, or they think of themselves at least as spiritual people. There is still a great deal of spiritual belief in Australia. Human beings right across the world are spiritual beings. See, most people realise that you and I are more than just a collection of atoms. Most people, even in the West, in Western nations, have a sense that there is something more out there. And because of that, human beings on the whole are religious. There is a lot of religion in the world. Now, when you think about religion, a lot of people think of things like angels, men in robes, sacrifices, rituals, good deeds done to earn God's acceptance. These are the kinds of things that many people think of when they think of religion, and that's the sort of thing that I'm talking about when I'm referring to religion in this series. And the interesting thing is that Christianity is different to this. When you go to the Bible and you read what it says after Jesus came into the world, what it says is that those kinds of things aren't what Christianity is about. Christianity, we're told, is different to all of those things. It's different because we have what we need in Jesus Christ. Jesus is better than religion in the way that so many people think about religion. So much of what we think of when we think of religion isn't what Christianity is about. And that's what we see in particular when we look at the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is one of the it's one of the books of the Bible, and it's written to a bunch of Jews who had become Christians. But they were being tempted to go back to all of their old Jewish religious practices. But the writer to the Hebrews comes in and he says, no, don't do that. Jesus is so much better than all of that. That's his basic thrust in the book of Hebrews. And so why don't we open up to the book of Hebrews and we'll just read the first three verses of the book. We won't in our series do all of the book of Hebrews together, but we're just going to read different sections in what will be, I think, a 9-talk series working our way through the book of Hebrews. And we're starting right at the beginning tonight, and we're looking at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And the book begins in this way. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, there's a bit in there, but I'm going to walk you through it. And what that section there is talking about, and what we're going to be talking about tonight, is God speaking to us. Okay, that is one of our most basic spiritual needs, is it not? We need God to speak to us. If there is a creator God, and if we sense our need to know him, which most people do, then more than anything, we need God to speak to us. Because, I mean, how else are we going to know God? God isn't like us. God is different to us. If he were like us, he wouldn't be God. And so how else are we going to know God unless he actually speaks to us? We need God to speak to us. And religion does tend to recognize this. The scriptures of different religions are from people who say that they've heard the voice of God. And sometimes people today even seek out personal experiences of this. They want to hear the voice of God. And certainly what we are told in Bible is that during Bible times, there were those whom God had spoken to. We read in verse 1, God, at various times and in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. See, the writer there is saying that God in various ways has in the past spoken by the prophets. Okay, if you look at the times before Jesus, God had these people called prophets, and the prophets received the word of God. Sometimes they heard a voice, sometimes they had a dream, sometimes they had a vision. Other times an angel came and spoke to them. But the point is that in various ways, God spoke through the prophets. That's what he had done in the past. And that certainly had value. That was a good thing. And that's why we can read the books of the Bible that are written by these prophets, and we can benefit from them because they are the word of God. God spoke through the prophets. But what the writer is about to say here is that there was a better kind of communication which was to come. Even though God spoke through the prophets, there was something better which was actually going to come. And that's what we need to realise. We may think that it would be great to have God speak to us, but the Bible says that something even better has actually happened. This is something that you don't have in the other faiths. God has spoken in Christianity in a way that is completely unique to Christianity. What is that better way? Well, the better way that God has spoken is in Jesus, his Son. Now, let's read again what it says. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Okay, God has spoken to us by his Son. The idea here is that this is the final way and the greatest way that God has spoken to us. In the past, God spoke by the prophets, but now there's something better. God has spoken to us by his Son. The idea is that when Jesus came into the world, that was God's way of speaking to us. And how much better is that than speaking through prophets? How much better is that than even hearing a voice? In Jesus, the Son of God came down. That is so much more than you get in ordinary religion. Okay, let's think this through. Think, for example, of the fact that Jesus is God's Son. He is not just a prophet, okay? Jesus is God's Son. He's not just a prophet. Okay, there's a story that Jesus once told about a landowner who had a vineyard. And the vineyard was hired out to some vine growers. But when the landowner sends his servant to collect the fruit, they actually kill the servant. And then he sends another and they kill this next servant. He sends another and they kill this next servant. And until at last the landowner says, "You know what? I'm going to send even my Son. Surely they will respect my Son." See, the Son is the final messenger that is sent. And you can see how to send your Son has greater weight than anything else. It was more special than anything else. It was more special in Jesus' story than sending the servants. And that's the same idea here. When God sends his Son, that's a pretty special kind of messenger. That is more special than simply allowing prophets to be his messengers. Okay, think of it with the Queen. If the Queen were to send an ambassador to Australia to carry a message, that's something. We value that. But if the Queen were to send Prince William to Australia to carry a message, I mean, it is something else again, is it not? It is something else again. Jesus is God's Son. He's not just a prophet. He is the final and the greatest messenger to come. In Jesus, the Son of God comes down. And this is more than what you get in religion. In Islam, for example, Muhammad, he makes no claim to be God's Son. In Judaism, Moses makes no claim to be God's Son. In Buddhism, Buddha makes no claim to be God's Son. See, none of the messengers in the other religions claim to be God's Son, but Jesus is God's Son. He is not a prophet. In fact, more than this, Jesus is God himself. Okay, when we talk about Jesus as God's Son, what we're meant to understand by that is that Jesus is actually divine. Okay, the Bible teaches that there are three persons in God. This is the mystery of God. There are three persons in God: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, Son of God, is divine. And that's what this passage goes on to make really clear. Okay, let's read these verses again. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And then he goes on and he says, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, to bring the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power of his word, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, that's a pretty magnificent description there of this messenger, isn't it, of this Son. And basically what it's saying of Jesus is that Jesus is God. Okay, let me just take you through this, okay, and we'll flip. Good. Jesus, it says, is the heir of all things, okay? In other words, the Father has given him everything. He's given him authority over everything. And the reason why... Jesus has authority over everything is because it was through Jesus that the world or the cosmos was made. In other words, Jesus, or the worlds is just another word for the cosmos. In other words, Jesus was the creator of everything. Also, Jesus, we are told, is the brightness of God's glory and is the express image of his person. Okay, you couldn't get much clearer descriptions there of Jesus as God. Then more than this, we're told that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. All right, what that's saying is that everything holds together in our universe. Even right now, even while you're sitting on those seats, everything right now is holding together in this universe because Jesus, the Son of God, is holding everything together. Jesus makes sure that the very laws of nature keep on happening, is what it's saying. Then number six, following on from that, we're told that Jesus by himself purged our sins. Now, you might wonder why it mentions that there. Everything else obviously talking about Jesus being God. How does this fit in? Well, it fits in because it emphasises that Jesus by himself purged our sins. It's emphasising the idea, who else could tackle our sin? Who else could apply an atonement that was big enough to pay for our sin? Who else could bear the sins of all people throughout time, whoever would come to faith in Christ? Who else could do that but God himself? Jesus, by himself, purged our sins. And then number seven, it says that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Right hand of the king was a position of supreme authority. And so just what all of this is saying is that Jesus is God himself. This is the God's greatest way of speaking to us. This is the final way that God's spoken. This is why the message Jesus brings is better than any other message that you can possibly hear. And that's because in Christ, God himself actually comes down to us. See, as good as what it was for God to speak through these prophets, in the end, they were still like go-betweens, weren't they? God would speak to the prophet and the prophet would speak to the people. Go-betweens. But in Jesus, God himself comes down. This is more than simply hearing the voice of God. In Jesus, God himself comes. So that in Jesus, you can actually know God. Okay, think again back to the illustration of the Queen. If the Queen sends an ambassador, you can hear from the Queen and know what she's like and what she wants through the ambassador. And that's good. But you do have to say that if the Queen herself actually comes to town, then that's infinitely better. You can know her in a way that you couldn't possibly know her through an ambassador. In Jesus, God himself comes to us. That's his way of speaking to us. And it's so much better than any other word that you could possibly receive. Okay, I remember chatting with a guy once, and we were talking about God, and he said, if God is real, why doesn't he just come down and show himself to us? And I said, well, actually, he has. That's exactly what Jesus is all about. Jesus is God coming down and showing himself to us. It's what he did in Jesus. And friends, what I want to say to you is that if you want to know God, can I just suggest that the best way for you to get to know God, the best way to know God isn't to hope that you receive an audible voice from God. The best way to know God is actually go to the Christian scriptures, the Bible. One of the sets of scriptures where it actually says that the one set of scriptures where it actually says that God became man, okay, and dwelt among us and showed himself to us in the world. Go to that one place where it says that and read about it. Okay, that's what I'd encourage you to do if you want to know God. I'd encourage you, just go to the biographies of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go there in the Bible, eyewitness accounts of him. Pick up the Gospels and read them. And I want you to ask yourself the question as you read the Gospels, who do you think Jesus is? I was just talking to somebody just on Friday. Said all they did, they picked up the Bible and they could tell something was different in here. Read the Gospels. Ask yourself, who is this person? Is this not a description of God himself in the flesh? See, the Bible tells us that Jesus is God coming to us and showing himself to us. And that is by far the greatest way that God could ever speak to us. See, we do not need anything else to show us what God is like and to know him. We don't need any more voices. We don't need any more visions. We don't need any more prophets. We don't need any more words from God, because in Jesus what we have is God himself. God has shown himself to us in Jesus Christ. We have enough in Jesus to know God and relate to him. Jesus is all we need. God, who at various times... That's right. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. That's amazing. We don't need anything else. And so, friends, the question for you and for me is not how can I hear a word from God, but the question for you and for me is, am I going to listen to the word that he's already given me? That's the question for us. Okay, there's a time in Jesus' ministry when his glory as God is displayed in a most magnificent way. It's mentioned by several Bible writers, and so it was obviously important. It's called the Transfiguration. And the Transfiguration is like this declaration of Jesus' glory. And what happens is Jesus heads up on the mountain, with Peter, James and John, three of the disciples. And as he's praying, his face is altered, and his robe becomes glistening white like snow. Mark says that it was white like no launderer on earth could possibly whiten them. It's as if he's expressing just a glimmer of the brightness of God's glory. And then we are told a cloud comes over the mountain, symbolizing the presence of the Father. And then out of that cloud, a loud voice comes. And this is what it says. It says this. It says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him." See, that's the way that we're meant to respond to God's Son. Jesus is God's great messenger. Jesus is God come to us. And so we do not need to look for a word from God. All we need to do is hear the word that we already have in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's message to us. He himself has purged sin at the cross. And he tells us in John 14 and other places that he is the way to the Father. And so the important thing for us is not to seek a word from God, but rather the important thing is to hear the word that he has already spoken. Jesus is God's beloved Son, and so let us hear him. Well, I wonder if anybody has any questions that they want to ask from that. Okay, well, we might close then with a song, and then I will pray after that. We do share a meal together after our time together. So when I pray, I'll give thanks for the food as well. But right now, let's